This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today we actually have a special guest with us, our very good friend, Nathan Brooks. How are you, Nathan?
I am so good, and I'm so happy to be on the show and so pumped. You guys have been doing this for a while now, so it's exciting to be here.
So yes. You're officially inside the Wolf's Den.
You're inside the den now.
Finally.
Well, just a brief bio on Nate. So Nathan Brooks is a co-founder and CEO of Bridge Turnkey Investments, a Kansas City-based company renovating and selling more than 100 turnkey properties per year. Having more than a decade of experience in real estate investing, Nathan is a seasoned investor with a large personal portfolio and a growing business portfolio. Just last year, through Bridge Turnkey Investments, he helped investors add over $12 million in value to their real estate portfolios and has goals to crush that number in the coming years. Nathan has a new book that is being released on January 10th called The No Quitter's Guide to Crushing Real Estate Investing and Building an Extraordinary Life. And we're actually going to get into that a little deeper today. Super excited to share that book with our listeners, Nate. So to get started, I want you to kind of share a little of your background. I know every successful person has a story, you as an entrepreneur. So tell us a little bit how you got started.
Absolutely. Well, I actually played music professionally for more than a decade. So, you know, going through college, high school and college years, I was literally, you know, playing in bars and restaurants, playing in the studio, touring. And so I actually kind of didn't come at real estate in maybe like that kind of normal way. But I did read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and I started to get, you know, really turned on to the concept of what real estate was and what it might be. And so I, you know, started going to, you know, meetings and reaching out to people. And so I just kind of randomly had the first opportunity overhearing a guy talking in a booth at a restaurant about real estate. And 3 weeks later, I bought my first house in real estate. Crazy.
Yeah. Very cool. You know, what's crazy is that it's not crazy, but almost every guest on this show has had kind of a similar story with the Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That was like the first, you know, books that they've read in getting into real estate investing. So if that tells you anything.
And you have your own book coming out. So tell us about it, the No Quitter's Guide that to Crushing Real Estate Investing and Building an Extraordinary Life. I like how you put extraordinary life into that. I think that's key.
That's key.
Word there. But tell us a little bit about the book and what listeners can expect. And
So the book has been a journey of a couple of years, and I wanted to write a book. I felt, you know, inspired to write, but it's one of those challenges of you know, what do you write about, and what are the chapters like, and what's the content like, and then what do you do after, you know? So you just writing a book, you self-publishing, you get a publisher. And so there's a lot of learning that has gone through this whole process. But I had notes for a couple of years on general, you know, concepts, but it kind of kept getting refined and kept getting dialed in. And so the spirit of the book is not just a real estate book. It's like what I wanted when I had, if I was approaching real estate again for the first time, and like, how do I overcome fears? What does success look like as you start investing? How do you create a vision for what you want your life to be? Here's some real estate 101. And then let's prepare and vision set of actually being successful. And, you know, I think you guys, you know, we have lots of friends who make lots of money, but how many times do we actually like lay out what it is that we want our life to look like, and then help that business, you know, achieve it? So I wanted to hit on all of those kind of things within it, so that when somebody said, hey, what's one of the couple books I should read when I start, you know, investing? And I, you know, my goal is that this is one of them.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Go ahead. I was going to say that a lot of us have, you know, we all have gone through struggles, right? So why don't you get into maybe some of the struggles that you faced, you know, early in your career, and maybe some things that you would have done differently?
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch. you know, I think one of the things when I look back was as fast as we scaled, you know, we went from doing, you know, a handful of flips a year to doing, you know, a lot, and, you know, building out an infrastructure for that, building out a team for that, financing that, the sales component of, you know, selling that many units, is one side. And also, you know, frankly, you build a machine like that. And, when I think about over the last few years, you know, we flipped, you know, 700 plus houses, whatever. And, I'm like, man, if I would have kept, you know, half of those, had a smaller team, kept half of them, you know, so I think, you know, there's a lot of lessons growing up as a leader, setting vision for your team, really thinking about what it is that you're doing and why. And I found, frankly, that the more houses we were doing, we're actually making less money than we had, we're doing, you know, fewer houses, but better, you know, more well bought.
Right.
And, so there's a lot of things we could dig into there.
I think we had the same thing too, man. If we would have just bought more and held more, you know, we say that often.
Yeah. You've, you know, we've watched your journey over the, you know, I think we've known each other for
almost a decade, I want to say,
but it's, yeah,
it seems like that.
Yeah, it seems like that. It feels like that. But the, I know you've, you know, we've kind of grown together. You went from remodels to new construction to, you know, now writing a book and all that. And I know there's challenges that come with all the, you know, all that aspect of everything. It seems like you love to, you know, keep raising the bar and keep challenging yourself personally as an individual. What drives that, do you feel?
That's a cool question. Yeah. You know, I think I'm just kind of wired that way. Yeah. And I like having the challenge, and I don't feel, or I feel most alive when I am, you know, pushing the envelope. And it also might be, you know, to not always the best thing, but, you know, it's something that really, yeah, I'm just wired that way. I really want to keep after it and challenge myself in the most like profound ways and interesting ways.
You've done that even by,
I was gonna say, that explains where the MMA fighting comes into play.
Yeah. So I know that's like a passion of yours, and I think that's how you train probably and keep in fitness. But
yeah,
what made you step into the ring at 40 years old and want to get your butt kicked? Yeah. Or maybe you kicked the other guys, but either way.
So I'm sitting at my desk here, and I have this picture from that fight, from that night. Yeah. So literally like in front of, you know, 1,000 people in the middle of an arena, and, you know, 100 or so of those people were people I'd sold tickets to. And, so there's nothing like, you know, getting in a ring and, getting in a fist fight. But I will say the experience of training with professional fighters and professional athletes, you know, there's 20 some people in the UFC in our gym. And, you know, to have that experience, you know, much like us in a mastermind, or having friends who are, you know, high level operators in real estate, to really get to see that high level of an athlete. Like normally you can't just go train with the Chiefs, you know, or go train with or Astros or the Texans at whatever. You can walk into a fight gym and you get to train with world-class people if they're in there. And so the journey of that and what those athletes put themselves through, and the determination as a, you know, amateur fighter myself in that moment, it's a challenge. I mean, I have not experienced anything that was more physically and emotionally, demanding than being in a fight camp and training and being in a real fight.
Yeah. I think that right there, kind of the challenge, and then like pushing you to a whole nother level, even with your business. Cause I did a fitness competition, which is not like that, but the whole like discipline, right? Then in the work that it takes to get up to that point, like I learned a ton of stuff just going through that process, which I'm sure you have.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure, you know, just same as a fight, you know, you have your nutrition, you have your workout regimen, you have, you know, what do you actually do on stage and how do you do it? And what do people do? And so, and of course in a fight, then you're also trying, you know, you're literally in a fist fight in a cage. So, you know, there's that whole aspect of getting punched in the face that maybe other sports don't have.
Yeah.
Trying not to get killed. Yeah,
exactly.
No, that's awesome. And yeah, and you did well. So mm-hmm. yeah, proud of you there. But the what did all the years have, you know, made even getting into the ring, you know, got you what that, I guess the drive or the, I'm trying to look for what causes people like you and I to not quit over the years. You know, everybody goes through struggles and down, you know, we fall all the time. And I'm sure you've had the same, you know, similar mm-hmm. where you fall and you get back up and you keep dust yourself off and you keep going, even though you're bleeding sometimes and it's painful. But how do you, and maybe this is part of your book, but what are some things that have kept you going and the reason, maybe it's your why, but could you explain?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of that book for sure. Like No Quitter's Guide for a reason, because it's, you know, everybody has this aspiration. Well, I think a lot of people have an aspirational goal of doing something, but they don't put their money where their mouth is, or when the going gets tough, it's easy to quit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I think there's a couple things. First of all, it has to be interesting enough that you're willing to put the effort in. And I think sometimes people don't spend enough time on what problem they want to solve. And so when they don't have a clear enough, you know, plan around that of like, okay, well, I'm fired up enough about this thing that I'm willing to take the effort, initiative, perseverance of solving that problem. And then number two, I think it's people can get, they can get very excited early on, mm-hmm. but if you don't come back and visit not only the why, but then like, what are the reasons, you know, you have the why, a big picture why, but then like, what are the reasons that I'm actually building this thing, and what purpose does it serve in my life? Because then you can tie it back when you're frustrated or mm-hmm. you're, you know, upset. I have a quote on my wall in here that says, if you do what you, today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. Jerry Rice.
Yeah, love that.
It's like that, right? So what are you going to do right now that other people are not willing to do?
Right.
And you remind yourself like, hey, you know what? I'm tired today, but I'm going to go to the gym. Mm-hmm. Or I don't want to make another phone call, but I'm going to make 20 more cold calls or whatever that is.
Right.
And then, you know, for me, I come back and visit that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good point there.
And you've done a really good job. You talked about it, about your book also. I think you said like kind of defining how you want to live or the life, you know, you want to live and then build your business around that. So
extraordinary life piece.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. what, I know you got a great family, beautiful wife that I see, you know, all the time on you guys on social media and doing stuff together. Can you talk to, you know, about the balance or I think that's a piece, right, of your living an extraordinary life is your family life. So how do you balance kind of all of that and you know, manage your business, but also still make sure your family is a priority?
You know, it's a challenge. Like there's no question there. And I think, you know, I tend to wonder if there's really balance or if it's more like seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I kind of have thought it almost more in seasons now. Doesn't mean like once a week I'm taking my kids on dates and my wife on dates and setting aside time like that. But, you know, I think as business owners, sometimes we have these seasons where we're working our butts off and we're, you know, it's either harder or there's more work or there's some challenge in the business to overcome. And, you know, having communication with your family about that, those challenges makes a big impact of like, hey, I got to work on this. I'm sorry that it's, you know, taking more time. But then also, you know, for me, we spent time, you know, at the beginning of the year talking about what are the things we want to do as a family, and then laying those things out over the course of the year to say, what are we going to do to have fun? And what do you want to do, you know, to my son and daughter and wife? And so we get the family's input and the family's buy-in. And so it's not just about, you know, me trying to drive that train, but we as a family get to name those things and then set the goals around how we accomplish them.
Oh, sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We've done, what was the,
The quarterly meetings?
Yeah, what? So the quarterly boardroom meetings. I'm drawing a blank.
Jim Shields. His book.
Oh, yeah.
That was good. We've done
18 summers, wasn't it?
Yeah. 18 summers, yeah. Yeah.
And that was, we had him on the podcast, and that was a cool, the book was awesome, and we've applied a lot of those, and that's it goes along with what you just said.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you're laying out the foundation, and we would do, we still do, but we do quarterly dates, and they pick it out, and no
they
phones.
They get to choose.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, so.
Just don't buy a dog in the mix. We ended up buying a dog because of that.
So unfortunately, we have the dogs and the chickens.
You live out, you got land, right? So you probably got all sorts of things out there.
Yeah. But the kids get
12 acres. You got a tractor too, right?
Yep, I got a tractor and it's almost all wooded too. So it literally like looking out the back of my place here, and it's, you know, almost 12 acres of timber, and so we have deer and foxes and owls and all kinds of birds. So it's really cool.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Peaceful.
Yeah. So your book comes out January 10th, right? And so when it's out, so what do you expect, or what are some takeaways that you would like the readers to get out of this? Some big takeaways, I would say.
That's great. So big takeaways, I really want people to feel like, well, I think for some time, and I think this has changed some, but there was this like hustle and grind, you know, get in front of a Lamborghini and take a fancy picture. And I just really didn't like that as far as a culture in the real estate world. Mm-hmm. And not that you know, whether you want to own a fancy car or not, you know, I own a fun car. It's great. I love driving it, but that, you know, that wasn't like my purpose,
right?
In getting into business. And so my goal is to help people create a mindset around what actually purpose that business serves, mm-hmm. and how they fit themselves inside that. And then also to take action, because I think, you know, we've worked in a similar business, mm-hmm. For a long time, and how many times you talk to an investor who's, you know, looked at 1,000 performers and they, you know, thought about buying for years and years and years. And, you know, as someone who's bought, you know, hundreds and, you know, if not probably, you know, thousands at this point of units built, I can tell you the ones that I owned were the best ones. You know? The time really helps on mistakes even.
Yeah.
So to take action, and then also, you know, building extraordinary life. And I don't proclaim to know what somebody else wants in their life, but I can proclaim to say that I know in my own life, I try to live by an example of mm-hmm. saying, I'm going to live all out. I'm going to find as many cool things and opportunities and learning and adventure possible. And how can I help set the tone for someone else to think about that, where, you know, when they come to a time in their life, or they come towards the end of a life, which is real, right?
We
know that was, I don't want to be, you know, someone on at the end of life wondering like, gosh, I wish I would have done whatever. I want to live all out, and mm-hmm. I want to help inspire people to live all out.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Truly living life with no regrets.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And it's
exactly.
we end up, I think, with a lot of those same investors and speaking to a lot of the same you know, clientele. So, and we also have a lot of people that listen to the show that obviously really want to get into real estate and want to make that first.
And they've
step.
Looked at 100 performers and still haven't made that offer.
Yeah.
Right?
So what would you recommend to them to get over that fear of just buying their first rental? And it's probably similar to, it's probably speaking to the same thing of you stepping into the ring and mm-hmm. that door closing. Like, how do you overcome that fear and take that first step?
Okay. Well, I just have to tell a funny, very little short story on the fight side. So I spent like 3 months thinking about what my walkout song would be. Yeah. And I didn't even hear it.
No,
I didn't hear the song. So, you know, hearing the door close didn't happen. the level of adrenaline is just off the charts. So,
so what was your walk-up song? Being that you're an artist, you know, music.
It's Now I can't even remember. I'll tell you in a second. I'm sure it'll come up. Gangster's Paradise.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, if you're gonna get in a fist fight, might as well walk out to
yeah.
school. Love it.
Yeah, but literally in a stadium, in arena, didn't hear it. Back to the actual question. So I think there's a couple things. First of all, if you're looking at 100 performance, you're probably not clear on what you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably not clear on even like what your strategy is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I really like when I talk to coaching students or I talk to, you know, investor clients, like what's the end game? Are you trying to buy 5 houses, 10 houses, 100 houses? Is it all about cash flow? Is it all about mm-hmm. you know, generating a certain amount of wealth over a period of time? Do you want to pay them off? Do you want to leverage them? And so when I try to talk people through a really clear buy box, and then within that buy box, you know, and as investors, we talk about having a buy box too, but we can even say like, is it area? Is it school? Is it, you know, cash flow? Is it a dollar amount? But just start to narrow that down so that just like any investor does, you know, you're buying 20 houses or 50 houses, 100 houses. We're not having an emotional decision.
Right.
We're looking at quantitative information and saying, does this fit within what my criteria is that I want to purchase? And so, you know, from a perspective of somebody who has analysis paralysis, this is helpful because they can run that buy box and say, you know, and that can change over time too, right? You can, mm-hmm. you can change what you want to buy or change the size of houses mm-hmm. or number of units. And then somebody who, you know, goes too fast can also utilize the same principle. Like, oh, I keep getting killed. Well, slow down, create a buy box, understand what you want to have in there, what kind of return, how much money are you willing to put in? And so at least you have a framework to come mm-hmm. to start from and right. you can build from that.
Yeah. And I look back at all of ours. Like, I don't think there's ever, I mean, I've had some regrets of stuff, like especially when you're buying like a single family home, it's not, you can make some mistakes, but usually with time, you know,
yeah,
it cures all.
We talk about 2008, 2009 a lot when, you know, we were we couldn't sell them, you know, our property. So we held them, but mm-hmm. we made really good money off them. If we held them like 8, 10 years.
Those were our best houses, like probably the biggest profits we made. And it's like, man, we've talked about them on the show. Those were homes that we bought. We overpaid for them. We over improved them, and yet they still turned out to be the best.
Like, well, we'll just hold them, I guess. That wasn't such a bad idea.
No, well, and you look back on it, and it's kind of the same concept, right? Like, you know, that time really does bring something that nothing else can bring, which is, you know, paying down that principal and mm-hmm. having some appreciation over time. And holy cow,
yeah.
I remember us having lunch with an old time multifamily broker, and I was like, you know, get any advice you have. And he's like, well, I had this old timer investor who always said, you know, I never got hurt owning something for 25 years or 30 years.
Yeah, so true.
And that's true, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. You only get hurt if you sold it too soon. So the yeah. you know, we're headed towards a economical time that's obviously there's headwinds against us. Things are changing rapidly and quickly. What are you doing in your are you changing anything in your business? You know, what are you doing to, you know, prepare and plan, and what are you teaching your investors? Mm-hmm. And then the second follow-up question to that is, like, mentally, how are you attacking it and handling it?
Well, on the like production side, we've definitely planned for a slower 2023. Mm-hmm. So we have, you know, right-sized our business. So we have less people on our team than we did a year ago. We're also doing less stuff that is, you know, quote unquote spec, like building or mm-hmm. otherwise. So when we have a project going, we have it under contracts, and there's a client with a name on it and a contract.
Right.
So we can, you know, line something up. And then, you know, number three is just, man, we've I've really tightened down the buy box, you know, speaking of which, to where we're buying only in, you know, really, really highly desirable areas mm-hmm. with, you know, better margins. And then, you know, on the hold side, so the last year and a half, I've really gotten into Airbnbs and I bought, you know, I think I'll have bought five this year, a little like 2.3 million in value and, you know, 380,000 in gross revenue. And so looking at ways to, you know, use that 80-20 lever to say, all right, well, if I did, you know, something specific, fewer deals, but that made more money, I'm really thinking about that. So on the hold side, it's been, you know, small multifamily, single family units in great, great areas. And then these Airbnbs that we do kind of luxury style, mm-hmm. they're nicer, bigger homes that we can get higher returns out of.
That's great.
Nice.
And like mentally, are you changing anything like with your team or to prepare, or do you, I don't think we're truly facing a lot of it. I mean, things have slowed down, but mm-hmm. I think both in you and I both know, remember 2008, you know, yeah. and kind of,
yeah.
I think just, you know, mentally preparing for that, you know, and being willing to endure whatever we have to endure next year or the next couple of years. Sorry.
Yeah, I think mentally for me, it's been as much my own preparation for myself. Like, am I staying in my meditation practice and I'm staying in the gym and, you know, working through still as a CEO, our jobs, so vision casting for our company and for what our team is doing and then communicating that back. And so, you know, I think mentally for me, it's been being continually thoughtful on what we're doing and not getting over our skis in the business. Mm-hmm. But then it's also, you know, making sure that I'm right with myself and my own self-care, workout, you know, nutrition, all those things that allows me to be my best. And I think a lot of times we actually don't talk about that very often.
We don't. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not perfect. Like I can easily go a week or two and I haven't worked out much. And then I'm like, okay, you know, get back on track mm-hmm. and then I'm good for a long time, but you know, it happens and that's okay. We can get back on track. And I would say also mentally, this is one of those, the greatest times to actually dig in and say, am I really doing what I want to do? Mm-hmm. And am I really doing what's meaningful? And am I really doing something that is sustainable for me, my team, my family, whatever, over time? Yeah. And really approach that and ask yourself like, hey, am I doing this? Because I can make a change. And, you know, the Warren Buffett, be greedy when others, you know, are fearful and vice versa. And we're going to go into a season where there's going to be a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so if we have our own mental and physical, emotional games, on par, then we're going to be very successful.
I agree.
Yeah. That takeaway right there, I think absolutely 100% you have to take care of yourself mentally, you know, read books, listen to podcasts, work out, all of that leads to your success. So thank you for sharing that. Cause I don't think a lot of people talk about that.
Absolutely. Well, and Joni, I just want to say too, I really appreciate how much you show up in that same way on social. You're showing working out, eating well, you know, staying fit. And that's a big deal. And I like setting the tone as a leader and as somebody who, you know, you have that practice and,
yeah.
and you keep up with that well. And so keep it up. I love that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's awesome. She's been great at that and holds me accountable. And so I love the accountability. I have a great accountability partner right in the house. So, but go ahead.
Absolutely.
So Nate, I have a couple of questions for you actually. So if you could go back in your early 20s, I mean, you're already that young to begin with. Yeah. So, but if you can go back, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, on the real estate front, I would say sell only what you have to. That would be my advice on the real estate side. On the personal side, I would say, you know, developing personal practices like meditation and journaling and exercise and nutrition, like it has such an impactful place all across all parts of your life. And if you have your own personal discipline, it's so much easier to be disciplined in other things, because you can just take that same practice and apply it. And so, you know, that's taken me a long time to find those things. And I think having that has really changed my life. And, you know, think about journaling and, you know, anything I've journaled and I've worked on and I've written out and visualized, I have been able to manifest in my life.
Yeah.
And so if you know, you're out there listening to this and you're like, man, I really want XYZ to come true. Well, write it down.
Yeah.
Tell your brain every day that it's going to happen and work on it. So those are two things.
That's a great takeaway there, because I journal a lot myself, and that's actually how I came to write my book, was journaling through all those years, right, and putting it all together. So I don't know if that's same with you, but yeah, I think journaling is key. Write it down.
Awesome. And look at it over and over.
Yep. Awesome. So, Nate, what is your next?
What's next for Nathan Brooks? What's next for Nathan Brooks?
Well, I am really excited about the book, and I'm really excited about making an impact. And I'm really enjoying the process of thinking, like, not just what does this book do, but how do I help put parts and pieces together for people who, you know, I know so many times I've read a book and I'm like, man, I'm so fired up, you know, so I really hope to inspire tens of thousands of people with my book. And then also, you know, put some tools in place together that will help people kind of work through the process of, okay, I want to do this. You know, I've read the Rich Dad Poor Dad, I read No Quitter's Guide, I read, you know, Brandon Turner's book, whatever, Joni's book. Now what? Like, what does an actual process look like?
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. And I'm really enjoying the building of, you know, specific things and building and holding. So in Texas, we operate in Texas, and we'll build and hold another, you know, hopefully 30 to 50 units or so next year. And then, you know, acquire another, you know, five to 10 of those luxury Airbnbs. And, you know, I'm looking for the highest leverage of fun, joy, financial return, and spending as little of time, like in the 80-20 of in the day-to-day grind of nuts and bolts, business sausage making or whatever you want to call it. And so, I enjoy projects. And so it's good for me to find those things and work on them and then let them into the world.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait. I can't wait to get my hands on your book. So again, guys, it's the No Quitter's Guide to Crushing Real Estate Investing and Building an Extraordinary Life. So it comes out January 10th. Make sure you get your hands on that book. And
you can pre-order, correct, on Amazon and already?
You can. And my publisher, so it's through Morgan James, and they have had, you know, almost 30 New York Times bestsellers. So it's not just like a self-published, which is great too, obviously, but I was really excited to work with Morgan James. And so it's actually available anywhere books are sold. So Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, you know, your local bookstore, ask them to bring it in there, right? Because that's cool. And it really helps us from a publishing side and book side. So you can get it anywhere.
Where else can people get a hold of you and follow you? I know you're an author and contribute a lot on Bigger Pockets, but is there anywhere else that people can touch base with you?
Yep. So they can get kind of the back end details and links at noquittersguide.com. So that, and eventually that'll have like any of the projects, whether we have a fund people can invest in and stuff like that. But noquittersguide.com. And then also I'm active on both Instagram and Facebook. So that's really easy to, you know, connect and connect there. So social is great.
Sweet. Well, we'll have all of this also on the show notes, so that's the way it's easy for everybody to get their hands on that. And but yeah, we appreciate you, Nate, for coming on the show today. It's always great catching up with friends and rock stars like you. So thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you again.
Well, I appreciate you both too. And I love getting the conversation, and I really love the products you guys are put together with your podcast, because you do a nice job, and I appreciate the prep for that. And also, people might not know this out there, they probably do, but you two are legitimately awesome people, awesome operators. And I'm really thankful to have you as friends and mentors in my own life. So
appreciate that. Thanks, Nate.
Thank you, Nate. And again, share this. If you like it, please rate the podcast. We depend on those reviews to spread this. And so we appreciate you. And Nate, again, thank you. If there's anything we can ever do for you, please let us know. And otherwise, we'll see everybody next week.
See you, everyone.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkle. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Talk, talk, talking.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.